Good evening, everyone. It is just before 7 o'clock in the evening here on the west coast of the United States of America, is what I'm told. And I'll go with that. I'm happy with that. I can, any assumption you want to make about it is fine. But it's also the 37th week that we've been working our way through the American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold. And by working our way through it, I mean that we're putting time to actually focus on the readings, and we're underlining the assumption that this is a document that's been written for the Voyager. And we are Voyagers. As we've come out of, we came out of life in the labyrinth with and the hidden work with so much energy and verve, you know, when we finished the hidden work, we were all angelic, right? I mean, we had seven angelic. Did we do all nine? How many did we do?
We did seven, David. I believe we were consorting with archangels.
We were consorting with archangels, as Silverdale is telling us. Yes. And as we emerged from that, we picked up the American Book of the Dead, so that proves that we're Voyagers, right? Well, we have a skeptic in the audience. Well,
that must be.
There's a true believer. A true believer.
It must be the reason.
That's right.
Got me.
From the footsteps of the Gabriel chamber. And I'll accept that.
We are reinforcing skills acquired earlier.
So we're reinforcing skills acquired earlier that we, in a sense, with the hidden work we really did, in order to do the angelic work we did in that work, we left the human realm specifically. We specifically worked to do that, to attempt to be hosts, in a sense, for the angelic, the archangels that need to figure out how to get into this plane. So we became, in a sense, a channel for that to occur. Now, as individual workers on the path, we have to remember our Voyager footprint, in a sense. And as in the Voyager footprint, we begin to understand that we are, yes, we are human biological machines, but as we're beginning to emphasize, we've been talking about this for 5 years now, George and Harry and others who've been doing this for all the entire time, the human biological machine is at our beck and call to help in the transformation of the essential self. But boy, do we have to do a lot of work to accomplish that. It's a full-time job, but it's worth the lift. It's the worth of living, because then we begin to get a sense of our our true nature, and we begin to feel like we're standing. We have a shot at it. We have a shot at finding our way home. And when we work to stand in the essential self, however form that is for you, you'll begin to get a little bit of a sense of what it means to be in your eternal home, the eternality. That's what I'm trying to get to. Can we sense that right now? Can you just sense that? Isn't it just almost palpable right now? We have, I don't know who's on tonight, but these are individuals who have been working for many years to accomplish this. So we take a workbook, and that workbook is called the American Book of the Dead. And Susan and I have some very exciting projects that we're just launching onto, right, Susan?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, and there's some work we're going to be meeting, hopefully. I mean, I'm the culprit here, but hopefully we're going to be able to make it every couple of days, and we can do touch base on a particular project, and I'll report on the project from time to time over the next few months, and to bring everybody into it. But it's just we launched it pretty much this, was it this morning?
That was today.
Goodness gracious.
It's always the same day.
Ay, ay, ay. It was like, felt like it was weeks ago that we spoke. But it was, that's because there was an eternality to it. It was just, there was so much happened today in that regard. It was so rich. It was just a rich day filled with many things. And Dan's going to help us out because if somebody wants to make a comment, you're going to just cut right in, right? So we have that going, Susan, or you speak up, somebody else speak up. So where did we leave off last time? Does anybody remember? I think that was your job, Harry.
Well, we said the Voyager has gone through an electrical shift. It was one of the last statements you made last week.
Where we, go ahead, Dan.
Well, we were going to cover the, as I recall, the 25th, 26th, and 27th chambers all at once, and we didn't get through them.
That's correct. Do you remember where we did, what we did get through, though?
We got up to the end of the 25th chamber.
But we didn't finish the 25th. We did not finish the 25th chamber. At the end of the 25th chamber, our good buddy comes out, the monkey man.
Oh, the gorilla, yeah.
Yeah. And we always, you know, what a charming thing. You can just see the little, you know, like on your bed, you know, little stuffed animal, right? Is it something like that?
Oh, yeah.
But in the Tibetans say that, no, this is Yama, the Lord of Death. And Yama comes with his retinue. And it's these other three creatures that he comes with. And they're saying, it says they all have, like, buffalo heads.
Okay.
Now, here he comes. Here comes old monkey man, Yama. And he's got a few things to say.
It looks like they're going to make short work of the gatherings left of the
So, Janet, do you want to read that last? You don't want to read it?
Not really.
Do you want me to read it or do you want to read it?
I can read it.
Go ahead and read it, okay?
The last of the 25th?
That very last paragraph.
It does say that the monkey man is going to tie me up with a rope made of my own guts and drag me around. Then he is going to cut my head off, tear out my heart, pull out the remainder of my intestines, and drink my blood.
Keep going.
Eat my brains, skin me and eat the flesh, and then gnaw on the bones. And if this isn't enough, he'll plague me with bad puns all the while he's doing it.
The Tibetans, of course, go on for a little longer in their description, but it's all pretty much the same thing. And they emphasize the fact that it is very painful. Okay? It is very painful.
You better emphasize short.
It's
short
very
work.
Painful.
I think they don't go fast.
But look how rich, look at what EJ is saying here. But we're tied up. We're, the brain's eaten out. We're cut up. You know, your intestines, da-da-da, and this and that. Your head's cut off. And you're sitting there watching all of this.
I didn't watch the videos. I don't watch the news anymore.
Yeah, well, you're experiencing this particular aspect of it. Now, go ahead.
The prior paragraph is very relevant, though. Are we going to get into that, or?
Well, we've read the prior. Go ahead. Tell me why it's relevant.
Well, because it says, if, on the other hand, I am really heavily identified with this drama, then the next step is inevitable. So this is the result of identification.
Yeah, well, we're always looking for a way out, aren't we? If I'm identified, well, I probably won't be one of the ones that's identified. But this is the process that occurs, and through a great deal of this work in this arc of transition that the Voyager is going through, there's a chance for instant liberation, it's called. But, however, in order to be in that, you really do have to fully be there. I've mentioned a number of times the second book of the Divine Comedy by Dante, Purgatory. And people wind up there not because of partly because of the sins they've committed, but because of their regret for them. And they have to be, in a sense, cleansed of it. And this is similar to that, where we are, it is our attachment to the body and this existence, which is so familiar to us now. It's so rich in our life. We can't quite conceive of ourselves in any other way.
That's true. By the time we're in the 25th chamber, we feel pretty solid. It's pretty scary.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
And the reason I left this paragraph unread last time, and I actually wanted to separate this paragraph from the previous paragraph for a reason, because I wanted to marry this last event with Yama and the difficulties with the wrestling with our karmic attachment, okay, to the very next chamber. Now, so we've just read this thing. The Voyager has just gone. Let's say we're reading for the Voyager. I know that most of us have stopped reading for each other, which is a shame, because there's so much there to do this. But we read for each other, and we read this particular thing, and we see that the Voyager is in great turmoil, right? In great turmoil coming out of the 25th. And then suddenly, there's the 26th chamber. This is the next chamber. It's like the next arc of this voyage that the Voyager is going through. And Janet, can you read that?
The 26th chamber?
Yeah.
It's happened to me again. Unfortunately, this body is immortal, so no matter how many times that happens to me, I'll recover. But even though I can't die, I can feel exquisite pain. If I had only realized that I am the shining and luminous voidness, none of this would have had to happen to me again.
So Yama is the, we in a sense call Yama forth. We call the monkey man forth because of our attachment. And here's the thing, we don't understand something different than that attachment. We don't actually believe something other than that attachment. When we have work together and we have an invocational space that we get into together, in that space we're feeling, we go, oh, this is right, this seems really right, this is good. I like being in this invocational. But behind that is the assumption that I am a machine in that space. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Does this make sense?
If the attachment falls away.
And it's possible for the attachment to fall away, and this 26th chamber is a blockbuster.
Because the last word, or the last one, had to happen to me again.
It had to happen to me again. I was identified again. But then, it's not like, then you go straight to hell or something. No, there's a pause in the music at that point. And the Voyager has a momentary clarity of vision. There's a great clarity of the voidness at this time. You understand that you stand, actually are born of the voidness, and you're of that. And there's a and you can see that at that moment. This is, so the 26th chamber, it's like a tap on the shoulder saying, here's really who you are. And I had to put you through this, getting your brain eaten out by this other guy, for you to see that, to see the dichotomy.
Is there a way we can skip these couple of chambers?
No, you can't. Well, yes, there is. And that's the first 20.
I know that reroute stuff on the highway, I could probably reroute. You can do it.
You can get rerouted. You can get a arterial bypass. And the way you can do it, however,
you have to get outside of time.
You have to get outside of time, and you have to be willing to give up the attachment mm-hmm. to the body. And the, I say body, when I say it, I actually mean the human biological machine. And I think doing that is enormously complicated. We practice being voyagers all the time. But when we're faced with a difficulty, when somebody steps on your ego, you are the only one that sees it. When someone steps on your ego, you violently react, whether it's expressed or not is another thing. What are you attached to then? Read this thing. Read this 25th and 26th chamber. What is the ego that you're being attached to right then? Why are you paying for it right then? Because every time you acknowledge and act from the ego, it's like you're saying, you know what? I vote for that ego.
Well, it says this body is immortal, so that would be... That would be kind of a finalized ego. Because egos arise from bodies and identification with the body.
And no question about it.
And therefore, it's just really a decoration. It's the way of the body to say, hello, I'm here, and we call it an ego. I don't think that we're going to be able to unidentify with the body when it's in pain. You don't identify or unidentify. It just happens.
It just happens.
But you can identify with time periods or not time. You can identify, you can consciously move your awareness out. Just for, what is it, just for the moment of, you know, benefit of the doubt, a once upon a time kind of feeling, you know.
So every time, so I guess part of what I'm saying is that if you have those kinds of ego reactions, let's say, which we all do, I mean, I certainly do, and I know that my friends here do as well, that can that be a trigger to say, I am not this body?
I would hope so.
So, is that not something that we should be practicing?
We should. The shining and luminous voidness may be too frightening. So then it would seem like, okay, what do you identify with? And there is a tendency for a consciousness to settle and identify, or to arise and... I mean, plants, there are, by the time you're in the 26th chamber, you have had some experience, usually. Enough experience to see, okay, well, these plants, the roots carry, you know, it's more of an all-the-time kind of thing.
So we're dealing with roots?
Things that are very...
We're dealing with roots and habits that we've acquired. If we read HBM, we realize that we've acquired many of these habits in order to survive in the world. That makes sense, right?
Yes.
We develop the historical personality. We get born. I remember I've told the story of the day when Sarah was born, and there was just this pure essence in my hands as I held her up. And I lifted her up and I said, hello, this is planet Earth. Welcome. My name is David, and I will be your father during this voyage. But that was proper saying at the time, because she was an essential self, and then I wept knowing what trips I would lay on her in the next years to come.
Well, in that moment, she was able to identify with the event and the characters within it, including her.
Including her character.
So that's the beginning of the journey.
So it's inevitable that the historical personality is built.
That's a good one.
It's a good one. And it's inevitable that it be built. Our work now is to take, in a sense, the fruits of that building and begin the process of non-identification. We can't fully not identify with this existence while we're in the body.
Well, there is Monty Python.
So,
what we watched after church.
But it is possible to begin practicing, and we bring a lot to the table in that practice.
Just, I am the shining and luminous void. Just some identification left with that.
That was our angelic work. And during the angelic work, do you remember the work you did with Haniel? Susan? Who else was in our group? It was Ivan and
I
Kat.
Was.
And Vadir was the other one, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, there was a clear and distinct vibratory sensation of being in that angelic form. And we were able to sense, in a sense, this shining and luminous voidness. You know, the luminosity of it was able to come through us. Part of it is going to be the difficulty of being able to bear the force of the luminosity. That was the first 24, the first really 15 chambers where we have this enormous cleansing radiation that comes through. And our work is to be able to bear the force of that radiation. Okay?
Well, I think that we could take it a little bit at a time. I'm not sure. It does tend to end everything. The luminosity, once you're the luminosity, that's the luminosity. I also recommend cartoons, actually for all this area. I do recommend some of the childhood stuff. It's real basic here. Identifying with physical, identifying with non-physical. You just work with it. Okay, here's the light. Here's the light source. You stand in the light source for a while, then stand in the shadow. Stand right outside the light source. And those are games that you can play at any age. Even if it's like if you're 1,000 years old, you can still that. Actually, even as little worms in the ground, you can still play light source versus shadow source. And that's some of what EJ teaches. What is our classes? Just teaches us about the electromagnetic light source from the sun, and then it takes off from there.
So part of our work is to identify ourselves as unique luminous beings and allowing that luminosity to shine through, in a sense, because that is what's going to happen.
Eddie's in the stream, actually.
David, isn't that our bodhic body that we're identifying with? That sum of all the efforts we've made to contact and live within the essential self?
What was the first phrase that you said? Isn't that our
A bodhic body? It's the we're building higher bodies as we do this work. Even though we stumble and make mistakes, but it when we can remember to just go back to that inertia that we have built up from all these years of work,
we can
contact it again when we need it the most.
That sounds.
Or at least that's how it seems to me.
Well, so far, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Just that Auntie comments that she loves Molly's insights. It takes her out of her linear preoccupations.
Well, I'm hoping that maybe someday we could, like, look ourselves up in the phone book from another lifetime and go, oh, that was me. But you wouldn't dare call at that point, right? It'd be a different world. But I don't know. If we're stuck to these bodies with all their nerves and stuff, I'm still in the process of reacting to that. So that's why we're having these classes, I think, for all of us, huh?
Yeah.
We're in reaction to what is it that we identify with.
But while I'm sitting here, and right now, as I'm speaking and listening to you, I read the book and stuff before I came. While I'm speaking, I'm not distinctly aware of the fact that I'm speaking from this body. It's almost like I almost am like a disembodied voice that happens to be coming from this chair. I mean, I don't see what you see when you look.
It's true. I'm filling in all the details. This place is busy as can be. The fish are swimming. Dogs there. Everybody's here. Everything but the fireplace. No fireplace. It's summertime still in my brain.
So. But yet, below it is this massive assumption that it's me.
It may be, you may be the voice of the room itself, the gestalt. That is cool.
I am the voice of the room.
At this point in time, yeah.
I am the voice of the room. It's just that I don't, but I know that if my body was threatened right now, or my ego, even worse, if my ego was threatened, I would react.
Excuse me, David, can you speak up?
Well, I'm speaking plenty loud. So
well, they're asking for more.
It must have to do with the microphone. She's adjusting it right now. Thank you, Susan. How's that? Is that any better? Okay. I guess what I'm saying is that a few people have been through earthquakes. Have you ever been through an earthquake, actually?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's unsettling to go through an earthquake. Have you ever been through an earthquake? No. You have.
The ground rolls, all kinds of weird things.
And when you've been through an earthquake, there's like this, this fundamental fear happens because we're so accustomed that gravity is going to work.
It does. It feels like gravity doesn't work. Right.
And suddenly for that, and it's usually just seconds that it occurs, but it has such a bloody impact, an enormous impact. Now, sometimes I do admit that sometimes when I leave this space here and other times during the day, I walk along and I wouldn't be surprised if I just step through the floor or...
In Second Life, it's possible every day to have one of those fall through the floor experiences.
So, what I'm saying is that there's so much assumption in my existence as a HBM that it's just such an enormous fabric in the very foundations of how I think, I act, I breathe, and I go through the day.
We've been told from the beginning that it's a miracle to get born into human form. So we have to live up to that our whole lives. It becomes part of our ego.
I agree. I think that the existence, in a sense, ego goes with it.
if somebody wants to step away from the physical form, there's already, again, it calls the security parts of your brain into, you know, into, in other words, it's considered by nature a little bit abnormal to step away from gravity at all, or even to find out.
Sure it is.
If, you know,
but here it says,
the birds.
If I had only realized that I'm the shining and luminous voidness. How do I mean, it doesn't say if I could kind of like remember about that. It says, if I had only realized that I am the shining and luminous voidness. I don't know how to stand there. I don't know how to be. I like the thought of it, but a lot of the times when I like the thought of it, it's because I just want to get out of the human mess that I'm kind of in now.
Well, I'm just wondering if there is an option of not stepping off the curve. I mean, it could be that you'd be pulled into a dramatic situation that matches the 26th chamber, 25th chamber.
I think you do. I don't think
Is there maybe a point where you can go, you know, if I just step back this way, I won't be, it's not the vacuum cleaner, you know, feeling of being pulled into it.
Well, I think that's
the
whole.
You'll actually stay kind of neutral. And you can pause and think about emptiness.
Virtually all of the chambers imply that you can step off of that path at any time. But all of them also say, if I had only realized that I am. So you have to have a fundamental shift in consciousness and stand in that fundamental shift in consciousness. Then you can do something. I'm baffled right now because, like, I mean, if this is a picture of me and what's going to happen to me, I don't know how to stand there. Once I've gone this far in the voyage, I don't know how to stand in that place such that I can be the shining and luminous. Part of me can feel the God man, the monkey man, Yama, ripping my body apart, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I've read through that thing, and I mean, I can almost feel his tongue sucking up my brain, okay?
That's why I recommended cartoons.
You are right. You are right to recommend that. And do I have the Voyager skill that can then, that can allow me to be in that space and then stand in the shining voidness?
Possibly. By the time you're in the 26th chamber, that's 26 days past your death. You haven't, you know, you're close to becoming.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling that pull.
Don't forget, we're in the third stage here. This is the third stage. Toward rebirth.
Yeah, we really don't know what's going on because reality is all upside down, inside out, and different. And a lot. We're reminded that what we think we see and what we're stepping into may not be the thing that we think that we see. It's a dreamlike aspect. And even if you go to the doctor and ask him, you know, he's going to shrug and say, you're in the dreamlike aspect.
The doctor is not going to know. The doctor is a mechanic. The doctor's a mechanic and is going to say, you know what, I think that big toe's going to have to come off. That's all he's going to say. The doctor does not have training to address the issue of the Voyager. I don't know if that's the doctor you meant.
Well, I'm thinking by the time you're 26 days dead, which doctor? That might be
that's a different kind of doctor. That's correct.
The one that's helping you deal with the Yama situation. Yeah. You don't know what's going on. It just came, it's tear-assing through town. Excuse my language, but it just, you know. And then there, it's what came, it went.
Go ahead.
So Rocky says, maybe moving to identification with the true essential self requires a type of dissociation. And Silverdale agrees.
There's no question it requires a type of association, disassociation with a human biological machine. what I'm just stating here is like
your compassion's gonna get you in this area. This third stage, it just gets you every single time.
And then Rocky says, I believe this happens often with trauma.
Trauma. This happens often with trauma.
So how do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Practice,
I don't like
practice,
wearing
practice.
High heels, too. That, for me, that's tempting fate. But I still want to get through the Bardos, and I'm going to have like, the special shoes, you know.
Well, what it seems like in the third stage... in the third stage, isn't this the point at which karma takes over? And what EJ has been talking once in a while lately about the karmic winds and how you're moved by it. And then he said that the secret is that it's not a you're not pushed by the karmic winds, you're pulled by it.
You're pulled by the karmic winds. That is what Yama, it's like you said, I'm ready for you.
Vacuum cleaner fit.
and here he comes with his equipment. His equipment, as we were talking, you know, like we talked about different topics at dinner, and then tonight we were talking about the sky burial technique that the Tibetans use, which is very similar to this.
I scream
yeah.
Social with the...
With hatchets.
Rocky says, victims of trauma dissociate. Rocky says, but I don't want to volunteer for this.
Yeah, you don't want to volunteer for it. But when we are, to me, these two particular chambers, 25 and 26, are so potent in terms of getting us to understand a particular dynamic of the arc of rebirth here, and we're traumatized in a sense with blasted away by saying you are identified with your human biological machine, okay, here it is, blank, you know, and then the next moment, like you're in this point of clarity, of extreme clarity. Wait a minute. It happened to me again. I guess I'm saying, Rocky, and others too, that the fundamental assumptions that I have about who I am and the wish and the hope I have of being able to identify with the essential self, when it comes right down to it, it's I think there's a lot of work for me to do. That's all. A lot of work. And I've been doing this for a very long time. So, and our work is accelerated by working together. Our work is accelerated by working together. Early on, I've done something in these classes that no one else has really done that much, which is instigate people working together. Like we did the angelic thing, you had to be with four people, you had to suffer your way through four people to create an angelic body.
I'm having a rough time with all the mechanics of it, but it works. Once it's turned on, it works.
So,
agreeing to do it is agreeing to put all the parts together.
I sit here and I listen to... Anyway, so we accelerate the process because here's what happens, you know, who is this? What's his name? Persian poet. Not Rumi.
Gibran.
No, yeah, or not Hophis, but Khalil Gibran. And he talks about two friends coming together. And in one of his poems he talks, he says that when two friends come together, they shouldn't come together to kill time. They should come together with the highest of motives to be together. They should bring the highest together. I know when I head out with Jana, there's nothing else I can do.
We do simple things. We go to the store.
Yeah, but it's
an adventure. Decide what to buy.
It's an adventure.
It becomes an adventure.
Because
the cars work.
Because the cars work. But it becomes an adventure because of where we stand when we come together. We're not coming together to do that. By necessity, in a sense, we come together only with that motive. And everybody that's here, and like, Harry, you were here for a couple of days with Valerie. And when we got together, it was just quite something, wasn't it?
Yes, sir, it was.
Just by the nature, the assumptions of our beings, when I get on the phone with George every once a week or so, I call him up, and we get on the phone, and there's no other place to go. Is that right, George?
Oh, yeah. You know, we kind of lock ourselves in a chamber and have a celebration of sorts.
And with Susan, I get on the phone with her. We are on the verge of an undiscovered country that,
it's coming fast.
It's coming fast, and we're working together because we can.
That's a good reason.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because you can. So I want to encourage you, if you have a chance to hook up with somebody in this way of reading these chambers to one another, I mean, you should be shocked by this 25th chamber. You know, this guy, this monkey man, comes and he tears your head off, pulls out the remainder of the intestine, drink, eats my brain.
Well, Halloween.
That is right here.
It's coming up.
Oh my God!
I hear that they can be sweetened. Yeah.
Say it into the phone.
It's like you failed the higher grade, so you end up in the remedial class.
But you can't have it in the remedial class. What else do people?
So Rocky says, "Yes, seems to be the whole point of the work. I am not the body." And then Ginger Rogers says, in an effort to disassociate with the HBM, I am looking to the exercise out of body in the book, Human Biological Machine. And she actually posted something about that on YouTube. I'll see if I can find it.
Good. So we're looking for ways and means to... We're looking for technique at this point, because this is a practicum. And these two chambers, to me, are just... They humble me when I read these these paragraphs. I mean, because I'm sitting here thinking, okay, well, you know, I'm pretty good. I know what's going on. And I start thinking, well, some of these chambers I think I can make my way through. But when this guy's cutting my intestines out.
Yeah, when that happens, when it comes that close,
yeah,
you will take right action. But you will also have that thing that happens. It happens where afterwards you have that feeling of regret or that, like, I did it again. I did it again. But you're going to have that anyways, even when you're just practicing on the piano or something.
Yeah, we will take right action.
You'll take right action and you'll learn right afterwards. If the action's clumsy, you'll immediately learn. That when it comes to the dance with Yama at that level, we're all like beginners, okay? I don't know. I mean, I think we're just back at where the clear light is once again applicable at that point.
The clear light does become a trigger for me from time to time.
I'll know I'm far down when the clear light doesn't seem right anymore. And I'll think that then suddenly I go, okay, well, I'm further into the process. I'm identifying with the body, with the material form.
So.
But I'll say the clear light in hopes that it shows up.
So we have
it's so sudden and complete.
Are you saying that I should, if I'm doing this kind of work, I should have a little faith in myself too?
Have some faith in yourself for sure, because
okay.
Imagine holding yourself together against these forces of light and darkness that are tearing at us.
That, well,
the fact that we're here at all is amazing.
We were talking today about when I, when years and years ago when I took the CPA exam, and it's a 3-day-long test in order to become certified as a certified public accountant. And so, when are you ready?
You're never ready, but if you have the right pencils, that's a start.
So you're never ready.
You taking?
But. But you can get, you know that you've put in a certain amount of excellent effort. And I can say that I've done that from time to time. And I'm like Pablo Casals said when I mentioned this a few weeks ago, he was 90 years old, this great world-level cellist. And the interviewer says, I heard you practice 4 hours a day. Why do you practice? You're the best guy in the world. Pablo Casals leans over and he says, well, I think I'm making progress.
I know. And do you see that Marvette has been writing a book?
She's got my life history.
She is a secret scribe.
She's a scribe. No
she
question.
Is. And so it's always inspiring whenever we're at her event.
As much as I really care for Martiana, and I always wish she's on, that this person, it's 4 in the morning for her, but we talked about the role of the scribe in the practical work on self, and she's that scribe. That's at noon on Sundays, and it's only 8 or 9 in the evening for them.
it's all going to work out because we've got friends all over the world, so somebody becomes the clear light, and the whoosh effect, there's still a body that holds together in the school. And that's
right.
Really good, so that
that's
you
right.
have a way of exploring those light forms when you're out there a little bit longer, because you have a bouncing place to bounce back to, which would be the school in that case.
So it's,
but they'll see you as a ghost and say, oh.
But we can act by
but it's
safe being, but we can act by being repositories of things like the clear light.
We can walk around with those odd thoughts, because most people are not going to think that the clear light's very real, because the voidness of the void, it just doesn't make sense, except at the beginning of the Bible. And it does feel like, well, you didn't make any progress at all if you're at the beginning of the voidness.
Yeah.
The world was out without form and void, and darkness was...
Was
and
it
let there
everywhere.
Be light. That was the main thing.
And the big guy said, let there be light. And, you know, yeah. Turn on the lights, and he
if we
did.
We can find a camera, we can a scribe, and we've got an institute. Some fish.
It's about all you
some
need,
ground.
It seems like.
And some people grow things. It's amazing in these miracle worlds.
So, several things that we can do right now, in spite of the fact that we believe that we're not ready. And even though we believe we're not ready, we are as ready as we are. So I guess what I'm saying is that we understand that we are repositories of a certain work arc right now.
So I'm thinking maybe I should go back and take on, because if we play Diablo, we become like Yoma. We go tearing into the world with our...
Yeah.
With our... And so at least we know that... At least we know the moves, at least at that level in our consciousness. But it's still very early. We still feel like kindergartens most of the time. I'm feeling a good feeling about planet Earth tonight.
Good. Because that's where we are. That's where we are. That's our manifestation. This is where the work is for us right now.
Well, yeah, we still have the internet. We're free. And we can say hi to you. I can sit here legally. It's good. So... Hopefully it will be like that for tomorrow too.
So how ready are you to be in the 25th and 26th chamber?
Never.
You're as ready as you are.
I feel never ready. The never ready. There's the ever ready batteries and the never
ready batteries.
But there you will end up there again. Out of body exercise.
Yeah. And is there any more comments that we need to?
Only Simon, who says, for years I was dating a professional dancer. Maybe that helps after all.
I think so.
It sounds like it to me. I don't know exactly what the...
Any memories that you carry over to the other side, too, are considered like they're golden. They are golden. Every memory, because your memory is taken, I think. You're sitting there trying to deduce it as you go along. I think the dancing was good.
But it's an interesting thought, because the fact that we are here now implies a certain...
That we were there then.
It implies a certain readiness, though, too. And
some experience. And, you can pull out experience, really, honestly.
And I'm trying to emphasize that because we don't know when that moment will come, but we can start to begin to develop a sense of faith in ourselves and our sense of as voyagers. Did you find it, Dan?
Yeah.
Make sure you put in the...
What is it? Can you read it?
No, it's a video that Ginger Rogers put up.
I see words, blue and words, out of body exercise.
Perfect. And put the number of people that are there. Are you seeing as Ginger Rogers?
These classes and workshops become...
This computer is?
Artifacts, plasma artifacts, for a little while.
Okay.
It's found horizon.
So, I guess what I'm saying is that the opportunity is now to dig out some of the things that we're able to dig out. And for me, these two particular chambers were like, it's a big signpost of this part of the arc of rebirth.
Actually, the 25th chamber, what is the movie that has the gorilla? That is a great movie.
King Kong.
Yes, that's the one. I recommend having a party for the 25th chamber. When it comes around, you pick your movies at barbecue. You know?
Go ahead. So, and it's also kind of, the 26th chamber is a demarcation. The 27th chamber and on.
Usually you're going to want to back up. I noticed that. You get towards these rebirth chambers, you want to back up. You'll want to turn around and go the other back.
Yeah.
The other way. But the karma pull is...
The karma pull is toward rebirth at this point.
Yeah.
And we're going to start seeing many, many, many things that are talking about...
You can back
identifying the proper womb and how we're going to be.
I think you can back up like one space. Honestly, if I think it's like checkers. At a certain point, you become like the king. You can only move maybe one space back or sideways. And it's all happening around you, and they're, you know, you're reborn, no? But they're...
At this point, we're dealing with strategies here. I mean, these things are going to happen. What is our strategy?
Yeah, the game, events.
Well, I don't know how this relates exactly, but one of the things EJ said when he was talking about the karmic winds are that you learn to navigate almost by, it sounded almost like you're like a sailboat where you're tacking from one side to the other and trying to direct yourself to the best position so you're not being pulled directly, but you're also not fighting it.
But you can't resist.
No, you can't. But it's,
you're in the wind, and I always like the vision of the sailboat tacking because early on when I was thinking about all this stuff, I realized that we had to find a way to tack against the wind.
To keep the boat.
I didn't understand the karmic wind at the time, but I knew I had to tack in a different direction than humanity.
Okay.
I had to find a way of tacking into a different channel of the ocean. And I did. I found it. I mean, look, this is what I do. Okay? So, once again, I strongly encourage you to read together. Find somebody, anybody, make the appointment to do it. You know, it's not like an assignment. I don't really care. I just know that when you do it, it's like deepening the understanding of this material in a very profound way. Reading to somebody and then receiving the reading from that individual.
Well, I have the microphone now, so if anybody meets up with me and wants to read right then and there, I can.
She has a microphone on Second Life.
On Second Life. Usually I just usually use the, because I so much like to type. I really love typing. I can type as fast as I can think.
But it's good to be,
but it's
the vibratory sensation of being read too.
It's good to.
So Jana's offering to do that in Second Life with people. And what's your name in Second Life again?
Molly Midway.
So Molly Midway, if it's something you'd like to do, just figure it out.
Yeah, well, figure it out that whoever operates Molly Midway, which is me in this case, has a shyness around new machines. So it took me a long time to even.
And sometimes she's a cat.
Oh, sometimes she's a cat. But, you know, I think that the voices still work.
It does.
I think it's quite logical to live inside your computer now, to just go all the way, step in there. The third dimension will hold up pretty well while you're gone. And in the meantime, I'll put on the microphone, which will allow me to speak audibly.
Yeah. And does it look like people want to do that together, Jen?
I do respond to chat, so if you're around me,
Guaki says,
chat.
Thanks, Jen. That's great to be aware of.
So take
it's
the time.
It's natural for me to chat.
You know, you're going to say, well, I don't have time. I'm very, very busy. Well, of course you're busy. That's not the point. Duh.
Well, yeah, if you catch me, we have all the books here, I think, that we would use to read to each other from. So it's good to do that. Good to do that this next week, I think.
This
should
be a very
Halloween,
good,
yeah.
It's be a very good week, and I would suggest that we go ahead and start with Chamber 27, read maybe just that. I mean, if there's a lot there about crossing the Great Desert and stuff. I don't know if you want to go into 28. You might. And then, you know, 29 and on, you start talking a lot about rebirth. Yeah, so 27 and 28, read to each other on this. Reinvigorate that effort. Everybody's going to say they're too busy. Everybody's going to say they can't do it. Everybody, duh, guess who's talking then?
And then, Lara 34 also says, good idea, I like it. And then Auntie Matter wants to remind people that there is also the reading of the ABD on Friday nights in Second Life with Ginger.
Yeah, and I don't mean that. I mean literally, and I thank you for that, Auntie Matter. I appreciate that, and it is important to take that too. But I literally mean virtually one-on-one. You read to the other person as a Voyager, and you receive the reading. And Lark, if you want to do that, let me know, and I can do that with you too, either in Second Life or on the phone. Okay? Just let me know if it's something you want to do. It's worth doing. It invigorates you immensely to suddenly be read as a Voyager too, and then you realize the Voyager-ness. 28 27 actually is quite potent in that way. If you get read that one to you as a Voyager, it'll knock your socks off.
I tend sometimes to think of the... Did anybody ever go on the log ride at Six Flags? Over Texas, Six Flags, over Alabama, Six Flags. Or any of those kinds
no,
of rides?
No, I didn't.
Because a lot of the time, the refreshing parts of the clear light will come in almost like a splash from the log ride. Because by the time we're in this part of the... It will feel like you're being pulled and pushed, that you're... That you are literally on track towards rebirth. And chances are you are, but there will be those moments of waking and refreshment. And it's worth it because everybody likes to go as children to the park to experience the ride.
Okay. And Auntie Amanda says she's also willing to read the ABD with another in Second Life.
Okay, there's two people there volunteering to do it, with you to do it. It's very strong. It's a worthy thing to do.
David.
Hey, hi there. You driving?
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
May I share something?
I would love it.
Yesterday I went to my friend's house and there were a few people that were doing something called an attunement.
Okay.
And I got one. And for some reason, as she had her hands over my head and she was moving down my face towards my chest, I could feel the heat from her hand. And I could feel inside my body, the heat was reacting. And at times it was comfortable, and at times it was very uncomfortable.
Right.
And it was at that moment of discomfort that the American Book of the Dead came to my mind, and the radiation came to my mind.
Yep.
And for the first time, I was able to experience something that I am alive and feeling, and compare it to how it would be after death.
Chitoba.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's like a breakthrough moment where her electrical body suddenly became aware that she is a Voyager. And as a Voyager, these are some of the things I'll be doing. So this attunement energy probably helped at that moment non-identify. And there was a moment of non-identification. And look what came up for her.
Sensations are excellent guideposts, huh?
Yeah. So what came up for her is the ABD.
A feeling of freedom.
As a...
For the machine, too.
Thank you, Chitoba.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Guy.
You bet.
Yeah.
How are we doing over there, Dan? Okay. So... Why don't we just work on your own? If you want to connect with somebody, make the effort to do it. There have been two individuals who've now offered, and myself, who've offered to do readings from and to. That's the project, and we're going to focus on those two chambers, okay?
That's true, and if you see me in the world, in Second Life, feel free to chat, because actually the chat will be stored even if I've walked away from the desk and my character's there. You feel free to chat.
The chat sticks on there.
Yeah, it'll stay, and I'll get the message.
Okay, good. So we'll take it up. We'll take it up again next week.
Uh-huh.
All right, same time, same channel. Thanks for coming tonight.
Yeah, thank you for coming,
Jana. Thank you.
Thanks, Jana.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, Jana. Thank you, David.
Venus.
Thank you, Marvette.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Everyone.